Well, the escalating anti-minority, especially anti-Muslim violence in India has once again captured the headlines, this time not just only of Indian media or what we may call, less conservative or less stifled Indian media, but international media as well. This is on the back of a number of incidences taking place in India, in the northwest state of Tripura. You've seen masajid under attack, Muslim homes under attack in what the local authorities are describing as anti-Bangladeshi or anti-Bengali violence. Now, this area here has seen a spate in violence over the last 3 to 4 decades. Local mobs, local Hindutva mobs in particular, claiming that the area is a porous border and migrants from Bangladesh and Myanmar sometimes consistently stream into the country. Their representatives continue to claim that this year is not an anti-Muslim riot, but rather they want to drive these immigrants out back to their homeland. Well, the counter argument by many Muslim activist groups is that why target the masajid? Why target Muslim activists? Muslim activists have for long claimed that whoever comes as a Muslim and requires assistance, we are not there to now see and to identify their udhar card or their what is called their national card, what we may call a national document of some sort, but we are there to assist them under the ambit of humanity. Well, last week saw something bizarre as well, and last week Hindu right forces in India forced a leading firm to withdraw its festive season advertisement after it featured a couple of words from the Urdu language, which in the popular imagination in India is a language that is associated or connected or regarded as a Muslim language. Now, the company Fab India issued an advertisement in Diwali, or rather regarding Diwali, a significant Hindu festival that's now a couple of days away here, even in South Africa as well, showcasing its latest collection of clothes. Now, the text at the top read Jashn-e-Rivaz. Now, Jashn in Urdu means a celebration, while Rivaz, which is actually, Rivaj in Sanskrit and in Hindi, means tradition. Now, well, what would technically mean a celebration of tradition, but this didn't go down well with the some members of the BJP, as well as those who were supportive of the Hindutva type of ideology, claiming that this was a deliberate attempt of the Arabization or the Abrahamization of a Hindu festival by including Urdu words inside there. Well, joining us this morning is Navadita Menon, activist and academic professor in the center, or at the Center for Comparative Politics and Political Theory, a school of international studies at the JNU, the Jawaharlal Nehru University in New Delhi. Good morning, Ms. Menon.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Hindu nationalist groups are targeting Urdu after a clothing brand came up with a Diwali advertisement with Urdu words. Tell us more. How did this happen?
Well, yeah, this was one of the most recent attacks on an identity which the Hindu right is attempting to define as Muslim. What I mean by this is that although Urdu may be considered to be a quote-unquote Muslim language, in fact, in spoken Hindustani, in spoken Hindi, there are so many Urdu words that every Hindi film song would have to be rewritten completely if every single Urdu word had to be replaced by a Sanskrit word. So it's ridiculous to even suggest that Urdu is a Muslim language. Every song that these BJP leaders' children hum have any number of Urdu words. So we have to understand that this is really about the larger project of building or attempting to build what is called Hindu Rashtra, which is a Hindu nation, as opposed to the Indian constitution-based, secular, multi-faith, minority-protected nation-state that India has been. So this is part of doing that. And since a homogeneous Hindu community does not exist in India. There is not even one practice, not one single practice that you can say that every single person calling themselves Hindu follows. The only way to produce something called a Hindu identity is by designating another community as the other, the enemy, and that is the Muslim community. So Muslims are facing in India, particularly since 2014, when this particular regime came to power, and after 2019 in a much larger way, after they came to power with a massive majority, Muslims are facing everyday danger to their lives. Their livelihoods are being destroyed. They are being targeted as terrorists. They are being targeted in multiple ways. The number of Muslim men in prison is far in excess to the proportion of Muslims in the Indian population. So the attack on Fab India's advertisement is part of this Hindu Rashtra politics. May I say just one more thing?
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
The one more thing that I want to add is that it would be a mistake to see this as Indians or Hindus being outraged. This is very much a political project of Hindu Rashtra. There is an entire IT cell that is dedicated to raising issues like this, amplifying them, tweeting, appearing on social media, etc. And so this is very much a top-down project. And why companies like Fab India, and there was an earlier instance of another company called Tanishq, which sells jewelry. It showed a Hindu woman married into a Muslim family. That advertisement too had to be withdrawn. There was a recent festival in which married women fast for the long lives of their husbands. It's a Hindu festival of North India. A particular company showed two women fasting for each other, showed a lesbian couple. That advertisement too had to be withdrawn. So this is all done from the top. It is very much a project of Hindu Rashtra. It has nothing to do with ordinary people think and believe. So that's broadly what I would like to say for now.
You know, when it comes to the languages of India, right, I mean, especially North India, you've got Hindi, you've got Urdu, and of course Punjabi and other, you know, languages, but these three or four would be the main language. Every one of them borrows from the other to a point that you would never be able to identify whose words are who. Now, I mean, from an academic point of view, expecting India to go back to Sanskrit, for example, is like asking modern day England to go back to Shakespearean English. You probably might have to rewrite every book, every newspaper, be published in a way that your public will never be able to understand. I mean, from an academic point of view, has this ever been presented to the public, especially the Hindu Rashtra, that what you are claiming and what you are saying is academically impossible and goes against the social science of where people live anywhere?
Well, of course. I mean, there have been challenges to this idea of culture as pure, and the way in which the Hindu Rashtra presents something called Indian culture as Hindu culture. Hindu culture goes back millennia, and Hindu culture is homogenous. All these ideas have been challenged on a literally a daily basis for decades, for at least a century. In fact, it's challenged not only at the academic and intellectual level, it's challenged by the everyday practices of people. So, for instance, the highly popular Hindi film songs, a simple statement like, Mujhe tumse mohabbat hai. There's a song called Mujhe Tumse Mohabbat Hai. Ab isme, this has the Urdu word Mohabbat. And one of the funny memes that emerged in response to Fab India withdrawing its ad basically replaced every single popular Hindi film song with Sanskrit. And they showed how absurd it was. So my point is that this is not that an academic or intellectual argument that remains to be made. This is something everybody understands. Everybody knows that the culture in India is highly miscegenated. All culture is highly miscegenated. There is no pure culture anywhere in the world. And in India, this is very, very obvious because India has had very long connections with traders from, from West Asia. So Arabic is part of, for example, Malayalam. Arabic words are common in Malayalam. Persian words are common in Bengali. So it's not just Hindi that has Persian and Arabic words, but many languages in India have these kinds of connections. So it's not as if this argument remains to be made. This argument is made at every single level from the ground upwards, in the language people speak, in the traditions that they follow, and of course at the level of linguistics and academics, this argument has been incessantly made. So this, it's important to understand that these are not rational arguments. Why does, for example, Fab India withdraw its ad? There was a campaign which said boycott Fab India. But the people who are writing, who are making that tweet trend are not the ones who are wearing Fab India clothes. The ones who are wearing Fab India clothes are those who actually do believe that Diwali should in fact be treated as a much larger festival of lights. And in fact, it has been recorded in Islamic art, there's even a Persian name for it, Jashn-e-Chiragh, which means festival of lights. So why does the reason why Fab India or Tanishq or Dabur withdraw their ads has to do with the fear that then the thugs will descend on their showrooms. So please understand, this is not a real recognition that Hindu sentiments are hurt. No Hindu sentiments are hurt. What is hurt are the sentiments of Hindu Rashtra, of the political project that calls itself Hindutva, which is simply very literally means Hindu-ness, but it's a political project to build a Hindu nation. And if they did not withdraw their ad, two of their showrooms could have been attacked by just five people each. And the police would have stood by and watched. And they cannot afford to risk their business interests. This is all it is. So I think we have to understand this is not some kind of grassroots rebellion against Urdu as a Muslim language. It is an attempt to construct. I mean, doesn't it occur to you how, it occurs to us certainly, how insecure the idea of Hindu Rashtra is? How terrified it is of not being able to actually establish the idea that there is one Hindu community and Muslims are our enemies. It's a 100-year-old project. They still haven't been able to do it. They're being mocked at every level for what the BJP leaders have done. So I'm saying that there's no need to actually make. We're not waiting for it. The argument does not need to be made. What we need to do is, actually stand by. We need to get our institutions to act. We need to get the police to protect showrooms of these companies. We need to vote out this government in a democratic way. And these are the ways in which we can challenge Hindu Rashtra.
Professor Menon, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International once again, and have yourself a good weekend up ahead. Professor, always, thank you for your insights and your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much.